turning to the book of Revelation, chapter 15. It's amazing we've made it that far. Chapter 15, and this is a small chapter. We'll read chapter 15. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so on, okay? And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God.
And I saw the first and second last being filled with fire, and them that have gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mind, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the hearts of God.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints.
Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art the Lord holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are manifest.
And after that I looked, and behold, of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever.
And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple, so the seven days of the seven angels were fulfilled.
Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for so many blessings you've given us. We thank you for this word we have in our hands. We thank you for the message of salvation that comes. And then, Lord, how you open up the future to us. Give us wisdom. Open our minds. Touch us with the Holy Spirit. Move on us. Draw closer into your will. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We stopped at the end of chapter 14 back in April. And so we've had a lot of symbolism in here. Remember, we had the seven seals. And if you look at your Bible, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, almost on all the Bible. Seven seal book. Well, you remember Jesus, Lamb of God, came up there and opened those seals. And your servants coming out as he opened each one of those seals on that. His book, his Bible was not. It was a scroll. And it was rolled together, and it rolled out. And it had seals on the outside, and he had the seals. And then we went into the seven trumpets. And so we went through the judgments of them, and it showed the disaster coming upon the earth, the seals and the trumpets. Now we're going to go to bowls. Now it says vials. And that is just, but it's sort of an elaborate bowl, I would think. It's not just a, you know, popcorn bowl or a soup bowl, but it's sort of everyone, beautiful, beautiful type. That's what I think of a vial. What are you doing here? Marty? No? Okay. Excuse me. You surprised me. Your face looked like somebody that I knew. Hello, man. What's Marty doing here? But anyway, you're welcome. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here. These vials, these bowls, I think of a vial as something fancy. You know, like you'd have perfume in or something like that. And it may be out of the temple of God. But what we have here then is, now it says the very first verse, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. You remember, this is the day of Jacob's trouble. This is the day of the judgment of the whole earth. This is that time period. It is a 7-year time period, broken up in different things. And as you see the different things that God is doing and happening, it's to enforce His righteousness. It's to bring judgment where judgment is due. And He's going to explain it to you just as He has here. And you don't have to plot. Not the next two chapters, not chapter 15 and chapter 16. Just read it and apply it. Expect it and see what it has to say. And I'll tell you what it's going to say. There's wrath coming. There's wrath coming. Judgment's coming. Throughout the entire Old Testament, over and over and over again, you're going to hear about the wrath of God. It's going to come. Now, I was watching television. I generally turn on the 5 o'clock news and watch the local and then the national while I'm eating. And the other day, I was just impressed. You got all this river of lava flowing in Hawaii. Did you cancel your tickets on your vacation? I would think about canceling my tickets rather than going to Hawaii when thousands of people are out of their homes and their homes have been destroyed and this river of fire going like that. Well, how about all the fires? All the fires out, not just California. Man, it's all over the West. It's all over from Texas and Oklahoma up there and all out in the West. And in that same news period, here's all these fires and these poor guys that fight fires. You talk about brave men. That's brave men. You ever climb mountains? I've done a lot of mountain climbing in my life. And I tell you what, going uphill really takes it out of you. You got to be in shape to do it. It's not like walking on a treadmill. It's not like walking in through an office door, you know, and take a couple of steps. I mean, you're going up all the time. The air is getting more thin and whatever. And so you have these men fighting these fires, and the fires are just burning thousands and thousands of acres. They don't know what to do about it. And then what about the earthquake? Earthquake down in Guatemala. I don't know. I've only been in one earthquake in my life that I knew of. And it's when the ground under you starts moving. It's an experience. It's like nothing else. Well, what we're going to see here, he said in this first verse, we're going to have 7 angels. There's you another 7. This is the book of sevens, I wanted you to know. 7 angels having the 7 last plagues. Last plagues. We're getting through here. When we get through with these 7 angels, we will have fulfilled God's wrath coming down upon the earth, and then God Himself is going to come. And you'll have the battle of Armageddon, and where Christ comes and overcomes Satan and the world, and then you're going to have the devil thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Wow, we're getting down to the end of these things. And you know, there's just not a whole lot to interpret. It's just plain English. You can read it. Okay, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels. Have you ever seen an angel? I haven't. All I have ever seen is a depiction of them, drawing of them. And most of them look like women, and most of them have wings. And I have never found a woman angel in the Bible. I read the Bible a bunch of times looking for a woman angel. Sorry, ladies. We may call you angels, so your husband will say, oh, you're an angel, you know. But the Bible doesn't call you an angel. 7 angels have 7 last plagues. Now, we've had enough damage up to this time. The book of Revelation is a book of processed judgment. That's what it is. And we've been reading about it, the things that happened. Okay, he says, these are the last plagues. And in them is filled up. Isn't this simple language? In them is filled up the wrath of God. Wow. That ought to scare the living daylights out of somebody. But it doesn't. Have you noticed the message throughout here? Have you noticed the book of Revelation? Have you noticed the attitude of the people that are on the earth? They're not repenting and calling on God. They're blaspheming His name. They're cursing Him. They're lifting up their fists and saying against God. Wow. Cussing Him out like. They're violent. They're ugly. They're not repentant. You know, we talk about different things happening to us, and Man, you break your leg or you have a car wreck or someone dies in your family or you get a sickness like you got cancer or something like that or diabetes or heart trouble. Well, you know, when something happens like that, you know, the first thing I think about is, what did I do wrong? Now, that's just my thinking. And Proverbs and some of the Old Testament passages would make you to think that, yes, some of those things come upon you because of the way you live and the way your attitude is. And it may not be, as we've seen in Job and you see in other places in the Bible, really good men sometimes lose out in this life. I don't think they lose out any. I think they get a better thing, like the martyrs that are burned at the stake or whatever. I think they have a glorious place and heck they're going to be in, and they won't think they lost a thing. They gained. And might be the same way with you. But the first thing you ought to do is repent. One of the biggest words in the Bible, one of the most important words in the Bible, one of the most, I don't know, fulfilled with wisdom for you to do is the word repent. God wants you to repent. Well, you say, well, I remember when Verlene was young, she didn't think she was a sinner. Until something happened and it made her know she was a sinner. But because she didn't drink and she didn't run around and she didn't, you know, she wasn't loose. Well, she didn't think she was a sinner. Well, some of us don't think we're sinners. And yet in my mind, when I know what I ought to be for God, when is the day that I ever lived up to it? Do you live up to it? I've had people tell me, oh man, I haven't sinned. My sister opened the door one day, and she was a sweet Christian, and she was a witness. And so the man at the door was talking to her, and he was trying to win her over. He was a religious man. And she said, when have you, are you a sinner? He said, no, I haven't sinned in 20 years. He said, well, she said, you just did. You just told a lie. All of us, some people say, all right, now you're a Christian. You're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint. Well, I may be a saint, but I'm a sinful saint sometimes. I've got pride and selfishness and foolishness. Have you ever thought about, those of you that are married, have you ever thought about the fights you have, the arguments you have with your husband, your wife? Most of them are stupid. Most of them don't mean a thing. And you just got your feelings hurt over a color. Isn't it crazy? It's really. I thought about that one time, and Verlene and I, we argued about everything in the world. We love to argue with each other and try to beat each other, you know. And I'm a smart aleck and everything. She was a smart aleck right back. Some of you never saw that in her, but I bless your heart. She was very, very smart, and she was quick on the comeback, you know. So we would go all things. I decided one time, I said, we're having these arguments and fights over what color or what this or what something else. You know, nothing. Didn't matter to me at all. And I got to thinking about it. I thought, I'm just going to let her have her way anytime. It doesn't matter to me. I thought that was a very wise thing to do. My mistake was telling her. You know, I'm not going to argue about these things anymore. Oh, the only things you're going to give me is what you don't care about. I couldn't win. You can't win when you're dealing with people, you know. But think about it. We still have the sinful nature we're having to deal with, though I am before God as righteous as Jesus Christ. That's the gift of God. That's salvation. And bless your heart, if you think you can live good enough to not have to need that, you're going to pay for your own sins, you will. Never get through paying. Can't get there. Yes, I'm a saint, not a sinner as far as heaven goes, but I ascended before by the blood of Jesus Christ and the gospel.
Thank you, Lord.
But bless your heart, I still I repent all the time.
Yeah,
there's not repentance in the world throughout the book of Revelation. Have you noticed it? You ought to see it right in here. And I've got several verses, and I hope to close out with one if I don't chase too many rabbits. All right. These are filled up the wrath of God. God's wrath, the day of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation about to be finished when these seven angels are finished. And after it, it's going to come, the battle of Armageddon and Christ coming back and taking the devil out for 1,000 years. So this is the last of it. And so he begins to tell these angels what they're doing now. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. How do you think they got the victory over the beast? I think they died. I think that's, we're heaven. This place is in heaven. The angels are coming out of the tabernacle in heaven. And the view of everything is in heaven. The angels are in heaven. And they're getting ready to attack. They got you over the beast, over the image, over his mark, over the number of his name. They stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. Wow. Here's a bunch of them that, you know how they got the victory? They resisted. They didn't take the mark. They starved. They were killed. Yes, there are going to be a lot of them.
Yeah.
They're going to stand before God because they stood up against the beast. And they stood up for God. And they didn't back off. Now, Fox's Book of Martyrs is a great it's sorry to you. What would you do if you had the situation they're in? Right now, today, we have magazines like the put out here on the board out there. Like, there are people today, right here today, just getting saved, and they're getting killed in their family. They lose their job, everything. They're beat up. They're raped. They're imprisoned. Watchman Nee went the last 20 years of his life, was in prison. He could have one visitor, only one, in all those 20 years. It was his wife. His wife finally died 2 years later. Why? Because he was a preacher of the gospel and he wouldn't back off and say that it's not true. Well, it looks like going to be coming. And the people that live in time of the false prophet, the unholy trinity, are going to suffer. They got the victory. They got the victory dying. They got the victory because they cave in. They got the victory because they didn't love life. They're still eternal life. They didn't want to have ease and honor for themselves even if they had to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So they didn't deny the Lord Jesus Christ and the victory over, he lists the different things. Over the image, over his mark, over the number of his name, 666. And they're standing on the sea of glass in front of the throne of God. Wow. Hey, they're singers. Look at verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses. Well, you can find that in the Bible. The servant of God, song of the Lamb, saying, great and my works, Lord God Almighty, and true are thy ways, King of saints. Who shall hear thee, O Lord, glorify thy name? For thou only art in all nations, and worship before thee, for thy judgments are manifest. There's your song. Singing praise. We sing a lot. Praise God. It's a good, a lot of times around here at the night, you song you want. We don't have directed singing. Just like we don't. An open meeting does not mean you can say anything to say. It just means, oh, designated preacher. This was not an open meeting. It was designated to me months ago. And the same way with the other pastors. But on the night meetings, well, we don't have, well, Brother Brian's going to take this night meeting tonight, and Brother Bill's going to take the other one on the Wednesday night, and I'm going to take the one. No. It's open up to where the saints of God can express their love, their concern, their prayer request, whether their interpretation of something, the Word of God, and praise God, let the saints share.
Amen.
It's a blessing. It is a blessing. Well, here it is. We got this song, and it's praise to God. And they say, who shall not fear thee? Oh, that is a statement that just comes to my mind. Who wouldn't fear God? You mean to tell me such a big grizzly Adams that you could just walk up to a Kodiak bear? You wouldn't have any fear? Well, you'd be crazy. I mean, I don't want to get in a lion's den. I don't care if somebody calls them a pet. I don't want to get in a lion's den. I don't trust a lion. My dog scratches me enough just playing with him. But a lion? I've seen these guys stick their head in a lion's head. Mouth. Yeah, they're braver than I am, or they're more stupid. I don't know, whatever. Okay, who should not fear thee? You have no power against God. Neither do these people. These people are following the devil, the Antichrist. They have no power against God. The devil cannot save you. The devil cannot take himself. An angel of God in chapter 20 is going to take the devil in 1,000 years. Only when he's around is he's doing things that God allows him to do. And without the allowance of God, he has no power. You want to stand up before God? You want to be your own lawyer? Seems to me like I've heard it said that he who has himself for his lawyer has a fool for a client. I don't want to walk down to, I don't even want to walk into a traffic judge. I don't like going to judges. I remember one time I was in the Air Force in New Mexico and came to home in San Antonio riding back, and I'm riding the speed limit, which it was 55 or 60 or something in those days. And this policeman, highway patrol, got on the back of me. And he just followed me, didn't turn on his lights, he didn't go over, he didn't give me the siren. I bet he stayed behind me 10 miles. And I'm trying my best to do 55, 55, 55, 55. And he pulled me over then, woo, you know, and I pulled over and right in front of 45. I had to go 20 miles back, pay a judge's fee, and pay my fee. I had to hock my watch to get up gas to get back across from New Mexico. I don't want to go before a judge like that. God Almighty, you want to stand before God Almighty? You want to try your case before God Almighty? Have a good time, buddy. I tell you what, you got no power. The God that could keep this all together, the God that could keep this old ball we're on turning for as many years as we know it's turned, and we have no idea how long. You want to go before that person? The one that made the DNA. Have you thought about DNA? Well, we've had a marvelous thing come to us in our generation. They now have the DNA, and that proves you were programmed.
That's true.
By a great big mind and a great big power. Wow. You want to go before him and answer for your sins? I love the gospel. Jesus went before him.
Amen.
Jesus said he's clean. Jesus said he's a son. Jesus said he's holy.
Amen.
Hey, sealed and sanctified. Oh, the gospel is so beautiful. Who shall not fear thy name and glorify, fear thee and glorify thy name? Thou art holy. Thou only art holy. That makes sense to you? That sense makes sense to me. I know God's holy, but he's the only one that's really holy.
Amen.
Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, and thy judgments are made manifest. After that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Now remember, in the book of Revelation, you got to look from where you're looking. Because he's in heaven, and there's the real tabernacle. Not the one that was down on the earth. The real tabernacle in heaven where the blood of Christ was spread. And he's looking at it, and it's coming out of it. And it says right here, and the seven angels, verse 6, came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with a golden girdle. These aren't workers. These are like kings and priests. Their belt is around here. Now, a worker, he has a belt down around his waist. But when he's got a belt up here, it means he's a king or he's a priest or he's a prince or something like that. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed with pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts, remember we had four beasts back before? You remember these beasts that had the different heads and whatever in the wings, and they stand around? Sort of like what I think Satan was. I think he was the anointed beast that covered. Now we have four that are around. I think he was. There's nothing up there now. Nobody taking his place. And one of the four beasts, verse 7, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials. I think of it as an elaborate bowl. I don't know how big it was. It doesn't tell us. It could be very small. I've seen what I called a vial, something no bigger around than 2 or 3 inches, and maybe going into a neck and coming up into the stopper of some sort on the top of it, and maybe perfume or something like that in it. This may be big or little. It doesn't really matter. But they're a bowl at any rate. And the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, that's one for each angel, full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And once these seven angels get their seven last plagues that are going to be dropped on the earth, this is a vision from heaven, it says here the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. All right, here's a restriction. I've sent seven angels. I've given them a work to do. I'm letting them handle the judgment of God. It's going to fill it up. It's going to end it. It's going to stop it. It's going to be completely done when these seven angels get through. And all of a sudden, the glory of God fills that tabernacle. And nobody can go in or out till these seven angels have done their job. All right, look, chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth. You see, you don't have a lot of interpretation. You don't need much to interpret that, do you? Isn't that pretty plain? Some people tell me, oh, the book of Revelation, you can't understand it. That's pretty clean, isn't it? What did he say? Great voice come out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways. Pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Wow. That's pretty clear. It's just like the Bible is clear. If you would take it and let it say what it says, you'd be a whole lot better off. You might not understand everything. I don't have everything down. There's a whole lot of things. But the book of Revelation, as far as I'm concerned, it's a revelation. I think it's clear. There's a lot of things in here. Well, maybe you could pick up some things that I don't know. Well, go to the book of Ezekiel. You can pick up several things I don't know. Go back in the history of the Old Testament. Boy, there's some things there back there that I don't figure out. I don't know. I don't understand. But the gospel, oh, that's, I don't know how you get messed up on the gospel. I don't know how you get so righteous you think you're going to keep the law. Keep the law? You never could keep the law. They just couldn't even keep the law. That's why Jesus came, because nobody could keep the law. And right here, the first angel went, poured out his vial upon the earth. All right, angel number one hits the earth. And what happens on the earth? There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. All right. The number one angel moves out, goes out, pours his vial upon the earth, and this vial doesn't bother anybody that doesn't have the mark of the beast. It's down on there. If they got the mark of the beast, they've got a noisome sore. So you see, you know, they said, If you don't take the mark of the beast, of course you'll die or whatever. But if you do take the mark of the beast, when God's judgment comes around, you're going to be singled out. Yeah. You're going to be singled out. And that's what it is right here. A noisome, I think that just is like the word grievous, sore, upon men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. All right, the very first vial goes after the beast and the people that work for him and served him and have denied God. Okay? Look at verse 3. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Okay? We got the worshipers of the beast. Now we got the sea, and that may be the Mediterranean Sea. in my thinking. I don't know exactly where he's looking at. I don't necessarily mean it's the Atlantic or the Pacific or something, but the Mediterranean Sea there at least. Okay? And became as blood of a dead man. That sounds like Egypt, doesn't it? What did God do when he judged Egypt? Well, he turned the Nile into blood. He turned their fountains into blood, turned their drinking water into blood. They were in trouble. Be like being out in the desert of the great Southwest or the Sahara or something like that. And he says, it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. There's a lot of death right here. A lot of trouble. I don't know how many men that would count for me. Is that people on all the ships? Probably so. Anybody that was living, is that the animals that were there, the fish that were there? Anything? He said everything died. Look at verse 4. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters. Now look what he's doing. First of all, he goes after those that worship the beast, the ones that have denied him and decided to set themselves up and do wickedness. And then he goes out and he goes to the sea. And then the third one goes to the rivers and fountains of waters. Now what are you going to do? You got to drink water every day of your life. I drink a lot of water. In fact, that's my favorite drink now. I don't drink that many soda waters. I don't drink that much coffee or tea. I certainly don't drink any liquor or beer or wine. Water is what I drink. Man, I get thirsty for water. And if I'm out working, boy, I sweat a little bit because I don't work anymore. Sorry about that. I don't work anymore. I don't sweat that hard. Anyway, water. I tell you what, the rivers and the fountains of waters, and it was blood. That's just exactly what God did with Moses in Egypt. Okay, verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged them. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Some people don't like this God. You were talking about the character of God and how we think about God. Here's a God that what he's been promising throughout the Old Testament that you ignored and thought that it didn't matter and it was all from somebody else somewhere, doesn't apply to you. Well, I tell you what, he's finally coming around and things are going to get judged. Now, these are maybe the sons and the grandsons and the great-grandsons and the great-great-grandsons. I have a map of Texas on my front porch. Linda made it for me. And it says, Texans since 1837. And I had a salesman come by and he asked me, what is that? I said, my grandfather's grandfather got two sections of land as a grant in 1837. And that's where my family's been. It's been in Texas since 1837. Well, I tell you what, you go over here you go to God and you tell him your heritage. You tell him where you belong. You tell him what you think about him. And what if you decide to go the other way? You decide, man, my mom and dad were foolish. I'm not going to go what they do. I'm not going to live the way they lived. And a lot of people do it. A lot of people do it. You have to make a decision yourself whether you're going to follow God or not. Mom and daddy can't make it for you. They can help you all they can, but they can't make it for you. Okay, true and righteous are thy judgments. Verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. Hey, we got the sea, we got the land, we got the rivers, we got the wells. Now we got the sun. You ever been in the desert? I lived in the desert. Roswell is in the desert. And I tell you what, that sun can get hot. Fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power is given unto him to scorch men with fire. It'll do it. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. What's their response? It's not repentance. They blasphemed the name of God. That's what their attitude was. Fall down and say, forgive me. They didn't fall down and say, I repent of all the things that I've done and to get me into this place that I'm in right now. No, they doubled up their fist with hatred and blasphemed the name of God. They had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. When you repent, you bring glory upon God. You say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. That's exactly what you're saying. And verse 11, and blasphemed, no, fifth angel, 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and upon his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Wow, not sounding very good, is it? And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not. That's an amazing thing we see through the book of Revelation. These people don't repent. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits. Okay. You think there isn't a spiritual warfare going on around you all the time? You don't notice it. You don't notice it. But it's going on all around. The devil wants your mind. He wants your love. He wants your emotions. He wants your heart. He wants you to serve him by disobeying God. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and the mouth of the false prophet. Here's your unholy trinity. You have your holy trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Here you have your unholy trinity. You have the beast. You have the prophet and the false prophet, whatever, the mouth of the beast, the mouth of the false prophet, and dragon. Verse 14. And they are the spirits of devils. This thing that looked like a frog. Now, don't get mad at all the frogs. Just because it's a frog, it doesn't mean it's a devil. Just because that little snake in your backyard, he's not the devil. Even though he was a snake. They are the spirits of devils, working miracles. Hey, they can show you some signs. Working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Here we have a spiritual draw from the devil, from the unholy trinity. These three frogs go out and they bring kings and their armies. They're getting them ready to come to what we call Armageddon, means the Valley of Megiddo. They're the spirits of devils working miracles. Look at verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is the man that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into the place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. That's a valley in the Israel area. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it's done! That seventh angel with his vial has poured it out into the heaven. And then the word comes right out of the tabernacle of heaven. It's done. What's done? God's wrath has been achieved. God's wrath has been fulfilled. We had seven seals, and then we had seven trumpets, and now we have seven bowls, and the wrath of God is complete. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since man was upon the earth. Now, what is that saying? That's saying this is the biggest earthquake ever. Now, I've been in a few. Most of mine were small. I at least one, you know. I've had a few tremors. But I was in one real earthquake in Guatemala, and boy, I'm telling you, that is an unholy feeling. Anyway, here's the biggest one. So mighty an earthquake and so great, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. That's a pretty big earthquake. It's making changes in the whole atmosphere. You know, they've been talking for years that California's got this big fault there, and the whole thing of California could just fall off into the sea. And it's possible it could happen. Well, it's happening right here. But he's talking about right there. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And then blasphemed God. They didn't repent. They blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, and for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Wow. Every island fled away. Great earthquake. So mighty an earthquake. So great. The great city. Probably Rome. You understand that Rome, from 500 B.C. about to 500 A.D., ruled the world. Constantinople was in the 300s, and he built a new city over on the east half, and it's the Greek side of it. And Constantinople was his city. Rome fell just a little before 500 A.D., and Constantinople lasted till just a little before 1500. So the actual Roman world of government lasted 2,000 years as it went through. It's a great city. Berlin wanted to go visit Rome. I didn't want to go. I said, why don't you invite some of your girlfriends and whatever. So she invited Dara. Or she might have invited a bunch. I don't know, but the ones that went were Verlene and Dara and Lupe Noyola and Amanda. Is Amanda in here? Is she out teaching? Okay. And those four met up, and they didn't go to Rome to find boys. They didn't go to Rome to visit the nightclubs. They wanted to see this great city with all that's left there. Now, I would really like to go to Egypt and the Holy Land, but I decided I would wait until the millennium. That would be soon enough for me. Now, they had a great time. They got their pictures. I've still got their pictures. And boy, they had a ball going all over the place. And I'm happy they went. I'm happy they had a great time. I would not have had a great time. I couldn't care less about Rome or Constantinople. I would like to see the pyramids. I'd like to see the Sphinx. I would like to see some things in Jerusalem. But then again, I look too much like an Arab anyway. They would shoot me or think I was bringing a bomb in. I'm just afraid to get around something like that. They don't think of me as just an okay guy, you know. I don't know why. Well, I do. I had a friend tell me one time, says, you don't look like a preacher. You don't look like an English teacher. You look like a coach or a bouncer. Okay. That's probably true. Did you get the picture here? Look back in Revelation. I'm going to read one more verse to you. Chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works, of their hands. They should worship devils, idols of gold and silver, brass. You got any idols? Got any idols of stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk? Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. That sounds like America today, doesn't it? The main thing I want you to see is, no matter what God does, they repented not. They repented throughout the book of Revelation. They repented not. Now, I think some people will, and we see multitudes that are worshiping God, and they're glorifying Him for their salvation. I believe during this time, many people are going to get saved, but a whole lot of people aren't. And the people that have denied God and that cursed God, they've chosen to go away from God. This is a time of judgment. Let me just give you a little bit of advice. Live a life of repentance. Don't be so proud you can't say I'm sorry. Don't be so proud that you can't forgive somebody. I have a real problem there. If I really have a problem when I carry a grudge or something like that. Because I think I have been forgiven freely for so much. How can I not forgive you for what little you've done to me? Might be nothing but words. Might be just that you don't like the same things I like. Who cares? What's the big deal? You've been forgiven? You ought to be able to forgive. You see the problem these people are having in Revelation? They repented not. They repented not. Well, maybe the next time we'll get to chapter 17.